welcome to the Critical Eye podcast. My name is Julia Brooke, and I'll be hosting this episode, which is the third in our High Impact Leadership series. In this series, we're inviting chairs and non-executive directors from across our community to share their views on what it means to be a highly effective leader in today's complex and challenging environment. I'm really pleased to introduce two fantastic guests who are going to be tackling this topic for us today. Matthew Blagg, our own CEO at Critical Eye, has many years of experience supporting executives and leadership teams on strategy, corporate development, and sourcing senior executives for boards. Hi, Matthew. I hope you're well.
Morning, Julia. I'm very well indeed. Thank you.
Good to see you. I'm also delighted to welcome Mary Jo Jacoby, non-executive director at Savannah Resources and a non-executive for engagement at the Weir Group. Mary Jo brings a wealth of experience to today's discussion, having held senior roles in business and government on both sides of the Atlantic. She is also one of our board mentors at Critical Eye. Hi, Mary Jo. Thanks so much for being on our podcast.
Hi, Julia. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
I'm really keen to make the most of the time I have with both of you today. So let's dive straight in. We're at the beginning of 2023. Most executive teams recognise there are going to be economic challenges ahead. But Matthew, maybe I can throw this over to you first. What do you think are the implications for organisations and leadership teams of a tough economy this year?
I think the first thing to say, it is going to be a pretty hard year. I mean, the social political environment globally is complex, let's use a nice word. There's real pressure on most business models. I think most individuals can articulate the challenges, but strategy and strategic understanding of how that's all going to how it's going to pay out is very difficult. So in a lot of ways, we're in a very foggy environment, and that creates a context where leaders who have to be very visible and get big decisions right are going to be under real pressure. I think that then comes back down to some really strong need for communications, being present, having very honest, open discussions, and working damn hard. I'm afraid this is an environment where people will be pushed hard. There is a lot of pressure on leadership teams already. I'm afraid, sadly, that will continue as the year goes by. On an opportunity perspective, great teams will differentiate from those that are not so good more in this environment than any other. And so it will all be about the strength of your capability.
Thanks, Matt. Mary Jo, would you agree with that?
I agree with everything Matthew just said. I think a recent survey that I saw, 86% of American CEOs believe there is 100% chance of a recession this year. And recessionary pressures create a different kind of business pressure than, just a normal cyclical downturn in a sector. I think that teams are going to have to be much more resilient. I think they're going to have to be a lot more agile. And I think particularly in consumer-facing businesses, they need to expect a sort of end times mentality among their consumers, that I better buy it now because it's going to cost more if I wait. And so with that sort of mentality, it creates a real challenge with respect to inventory flows, supply chain questions, et cetera. So they're going to have to pay even more attention than they usually do to what their customers and consumers are expecting from them, and how to meet those expectations, given the constraints of a higher interest rate environment, given the constraints of ongoing struggles with the supply chain.
Yeah, very interesting. Matt, did you have something to add to that?
Well, I mean, I think that the complexity has been built over the last couple of years, and there's a little ripple effect post-COVID, which is compounded then by the sort of mental and physical state of your employment and customer structure. And that in itself is going to be really difficult to manage. So I've been sort of leading Critical Eye for 20 years. There's no question this is the most complex environment. I think it's the hardest environment leaders will find. I think when they reflect back in the future, they'll look back at 23 as a brutal year, because in a lot of ways, yeah, you've got this complex sort of wave coming through society and it's the after effect and then the economic implications of that. And I don't think it's going to be linear. I think it'll be step up and step down. I think we're going to go through series of mini ways before things settle down. It's like the after shock, isn't it, between a significant event.
Yeah, thank you. And so I suppose looking at it from a non-executive perspective, what does a high impact board need to look like? What are businesses going to need from their boards, and where are NEDs going to need to step up? Mary Jo, can I ask you that one first?
I think probably the most important aspect to creating and being a high impact board is culture and that fit with not only the other board members, but with the business and the aspirations of the business. And I think from a non-executive perspective, NEDs will need to do even more research into what is the company really like, and how can I make a specific contribution to not only the board's success, but the company's success. And in the boardroom, I think candor and diversity of opinion will mean a whole lot more. We've gone a long way towards gender diversity and ethnic diversity. We're starting that journey now, but I think we really need that diversity of perspective and opinion in the room to challenge things. We've seen so many businesses fail in the past because the board hesitated to challenge the executive. They didn't understand specific products or services and didn't want to show that, shall we say, ignorance, that lack of knowledge. And more as we go through even more complex periods, boards have to be willing to step up, make that challenge, challenge each other, challenge the management team, but in an appropriate and long-lasting way. So no arguments, but not going along and getting along too.
Matt, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think Mary Jo's sort of hit the nail on the head there. I mean, the key role is that you have difficult conversations, but from a supportive perspective. And I think great leadership teams want to feel challenged by their board. I mean, they welcome that diversity of challenge. I think where the gap's going to appear is where you've got boards where they're less cognizant of the operational environment and that they're more remote. And we've already heard the last 12 months sort of executives where they feel that the non-executives are a long way away from the front line. I think that's going to be quite difficult, because what I would say is that the data flow at the moment is inaccurate. Customer behaviours are shifting so fast. I think there's a danger that the information getting to the board could be the lagging indicator. And I think that great boards will be interconnected with the organisations they're on. I also think that means they're also more culturally aligned. And Mary Jo brings about that cultural piece. I think that the sort of, if you're on a board just because you're trying to take a wage, I think that ain't going to work. You've got to have a passion for that business, because that's true whether you're an executive or non-executive. That sense of purpose and the alignment is true through the organisation. And I think you're going to be exposed if you don't have it.
I agree, Matthew. And with remote and hybrid working, it makes it that much more difficult for the board to really get under the non-execs, to get under the skin of the organization, because you can't do as many site visits as you might have been able to do in the past. You're not sitting in the boardroom with the other board members as often as you might have been in the past. And that creates a whole different set of challenges for getting really in touch and staying in touch. And then there's one more thing that I'd like to add that is new. And that is, and I'm speaking now as an American, that is the whole woke versus non-woke culture. And staying in tune with the changing expectations, the rapidly changing expectations of a generational change in your workforce. And young millennials and Generation Z are very, very different from boomers and Generation X. And we all have to adapt, not just the older leaders and workers, but the younger leaders and workers as well. And I can say that recently I was approached about a new board seat, and I specifically asked the question, you know, how woke is this company? And will I fit as a, shall we say, more mature non-executive director?
But I think within that, Mary Jo, just to step in, I think sometimes we generationally, there's not as much change as one might think. We've got to have challenge, and we've got to have curiosity. And I think you're a great case in point, Mary Jo, that element of continually being curious. I don't think it's changed. And I think that you see that through the generations. I mean, at the end of the day, you've got to keep connected. What I think you will do is be exposed if you're not connected to those changes. And I think it's just faster now, because the speed of communication is so quick that if you become out of date, you are sort of your yesterday's news. And I think that connectivity is really different. And that's going to come back to some traditional matrices in the sense of being actually more present. I mean, I think non-executives who transitioned in the last 2 years are going to struggle because they're not used to actually that physical structure. And I think you are going to see boards moving around. If you're a global business, having a static board meeting, I don't think that works. So you're going to have, and that then brings into other questions about the workload, the capacity, which is another whole set of questions about reward and what it means to be on a board.
Yes, it is.
That's really interesting. Thank you both. I think what you just kind of mentioned, Mary Jo, around those kind of generational differences does play into my next question a little bit. So I'd really like to draw upon your experience and talk a bit about corporate reputation in the year ahead and how that's likely to play out. Do you think the drive to net zero, for example, is forcing senior executives and boards to think differently about reputation? And just as an example, 20% of CEOs in our recent research told us, anonymously, of course, that they did think their organization was guilty of greenwashing. So is this something leaders need to get more of a grasp on, and will it impact on reputation in 2023?
I absolutely think that it will in 2023 and beyond. I think one of the issues with the rush to committing to net zero is that reputation is kind of lost in the discussion. Organizations look at the operational challenges of getting there, and they look at the communications issues of how we're going to talk about getting there, but they don't look at the sort of dark side of it all, which is the huge reputation risk that if you overpromise and underdeliver, if you create unrealistic expectations, if you signal the virtue before you have the virtue, that will really damage your reputation. And I think that companies need to be much more realistic before they make the promise in the first place. You know, do we have a strategy, a real strategy, to deliver this as promised? Is the whole organization behind this? And will we be able to motivate the whole company towards this goal? Are they committed? And what are we going to have to give up to do it? Because it will change the way you work. And in the short term, it will probably increase costs. In the long term, it might save money as well as the environment, but you have to get from the immediate term to that longer term. And I think it cannot be a greenwash exercise. It cannot be a sort of bandwagon exercise that everybody else in my sector is saying this, so I better say it too. Leaders, executive leaders and not executive directors need to go into this with their eyes wide open about what is achievable and a willingness to explain if it isn't achievable, why not, and what we're going to do about it. And I think that last bit is where the reluctance comes. Oh, I don't want to say that I can't really do this on the time frame that I'm promising, but it's much, much worse to make that promise and not deliver it.
I mean, Matt, do you think that with the kind of companies and executives that you talk to, the UC, are they ready for that kind of change going forward?
I think one of the things that's exciting, if you say, where is the common agreement today? The common agreement is that sustainability is going to be more important going forward than it is today. So it's ratcheting up. So what you then can articulate is that piece is going to become increasingly important in terms of strategic differentiation. And I was in a board last week where we were having a wide discussion. I came into the executive team to talk about it. It's the one fact that you can state today that in 5 years' time, it'll be a tighter and a greater agenda. And as such, you can then start modelling against it. And I think Mary Jo's point's absolutely right. There's certain things that are clearly executable today, but then there are things that are less visible. What you are seeing now, though, in Critical Eye, you're seeing collaboration in competitive environments that are enabling bigger change. And that for me is the real opportunity. And the organizations that recognize that you don't just look at what the sort of obvious changes are, you look at how you can lead the bigger change, but probably through some form of collaborative structure. I think that's where you'll see massive. And you're seeing that across Critical Eye in our ecosystem, all industries, all functions there. You're beginning to see organizations that recognize the collaborative structures that then really unlock things. And I think that's where you'll see in the next 5 years, I think that's where you'll see the next big brands emerge.
One thing you said at the beginning of this podcast, which I think I've heard you mention before, is about executives going to be working twice as hard for half as much in the year ahead. Do you think leaders are kind of ready for that? Or are we going to see a new generation of CEOs with a different approach to leadership?
I think there's a gap between rewards at the moment and growth. And when I say rewards, reward expectation and growth. You've got a low GDP growth globally and you've got a high reward expectation. That doesn't work. And so we've got some interesting challenges ahead. And at the moment, I'm not convinced that we're really dealing with it. I mean, we saw last week Delta and paying their pilots a large amount. So America's got some big wage issues. We've got the same issues going on around Europe. I was in Asia for our Asian retreat. We've got this really interesting challenging time. So in my experience, when that happens, then you get a recorrection. And that's where I think we probably are, which means there's probably going to be less opportunities for a period. And then that will create more opportunity. So I think the reward is going to be quite emotive at the moment. I think shareholders are going to really want to see that they're getting returns. And that's going to create some conflict between the shareholders, the board, the executive. So it's going to be an interesting time, but you're certainly going to be working hard for anything you get at the moment.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a big challenge in managing the expectations of higher pay. Because in an inflationary environment, yeah, I'm paying more, so I need more money. I'm paying more for the things I need, I have to have, and therefore I need more money. And then it creates that wage spiral that creates more inflation and stores up more inflation. And policy leaders in governments are going to have to look at all of this, as well as leaders in business. Because everybody agrees that inflation is that hidden tax on everything we buy, and inflation is bad. Well, maybe a little inflation is good, but not too much. And how much is too much, and how are we going to control it in a world where expectations are changing? And where in the workplace, leaders have to be much more flexible in terms of greater digitalization, in terms of new ways of working, whether it's remote, whether it's hybrid, whether it's come back to the office now, we need you here. And there's another change that I see, and it is a generational thing. And Matthew, I welcome your view on this. My generation had this sort of mantra that you don't quit your job until you have a job. If you're sick of it, you don't like it, well, start looking. I guess they didn't know it at the time, but it was quiet quitting, where you're looking for another job while you have this one. Younger generations are not as patient and are much more willing to just jump. And how do we manage that as corporate leaders, both in terms of hiring and retention? And it's a new challenge.
Yeah, and it's not easy to get the balance right. What I would say, though, that whilst there is a lot of difference generationally, I still think that there's more commonality than people realise. There is still wanting to be part of something, the tribal elements. And in some ways, a tightening economic landscape will bring back slightly more traditional behaviours. And I think that's a good thing. And I think that element of understanding that the elevator doesn't go in one direction is actually an important part of society. And we've had a period in a lot of ways where there's been a lot of growth. This is probably an environment where it's a bit spikier. And within that, I think some of the traditional metrics will come back, Mary Jo.
I hope so.
So a question to both of you then. Who in your view do you think will be the winners and losers of this period of economic uncertainty? And are we already seeing this play out? Mary Jo, do you have a view on that?
I'm not naming names, but companies that have a long-term vision and are willing to stick to the broad terms of that vision while being somewhat agile in what it takes to achieve it. I think companies that are resilient, leaders that are resilient, that can be knocked about a bit and still get back up and move forward. And I think organizations that have a commitment to their customers, whether they are consumers or business customers, who keep in touch with those customer expectations and demands, who always seek to meet those demands and exceed those demands. There's a reputation risk expert who I quote a lot in my public engagements, a lady named Mary Una Harper. And she said, reputation equals experience minus expectations. If the expectations are greater than the experience, your reputation suffers. And I think all of us, regardless of the industry that we're in, are in the experience business, and we need to always meet or exceed those expectations to maintain and build our reputations.
Thanks, Mary Jo. Matt, can you comment on that?
Well, I think that's all great points from Mary Jo, but what I would say, this is an environment where you under promise and over deliver. The reality of an environment where there's a lot of mud flying around, just keep your head down. And that would be my advice to leaders at the moment. Don't make big, bold statements. Let your actions and numbers speak volumes. What you will then find is capital flows fast. So I think you'll find by the second half of this year, those winners will be accelerating. I think you'll see consolidation. I think there'll be huge opportunity for those organisations that have built that respect and structure in their relative stakeholders. I think it is an environment where your management and leadership capabilities are going to be exposed. And if you've overpromoted and underdeveloped, I think you will find it a little bit of a pack of cards. There is real burnout there. And there is a challenge if you haven't got the energy in the right place. This is an environment where good leaders thrive. I mean, it is very hard in a really good market for a good leader to differentiate themselves from a bad leader. In this market, you absolutely can.
So true.
Thanks, Matthew. Thanks. So I think that does lead us nicely on to some questions I have about, the individual executive. And Mary Jo, you're obviously one of our board mentors at Critical Eye, supporting executives across our global community. So it'd be great to hear your perspective on the question CEOs should be asking you at the moment, and what role you think mentoring should be playing in supporting executives as they kind of lead in this environment.
I think I'll answer the second part first about mentoring. And I think in this environment, in a challenging environment, mentoring is more important than ever before. It gives leaders the ability to talk to others who have had different experiences, who may have been through something like this before. And those of us who have been around the track a few times, you know, every recession is different, but there are certain common things that you need to know going in. And I think the benefit of that experience, the wisdom that can be imparted to a leader is very important. The kinds of questions that I get most are, you know, is my vision for where I think the organization wants to go still valid? And how can I tweak it without changing the entire vision? Do I have the wisdom to deliver what I need to with my team and to motivate and unite my team? What skills do I need to apply to create a more diverse team in the first place? And I mean diversity in all of its iterations. And what do I need to do to keep that team motivated in terms of their expectations, in terms of their ways of working, in terms of my communications with them and their communications with me? And as Matthew said earlier, communications in this environment become paramount because people need to know that you as a leader are on top of things, that you as a leader are concerned and empathetic to what your team is experiencing, both at work and in their broader lives. And how can we stay together and face these challenges together and win?
Thanks, Mojo. Matthew, it'd be great to get your perspective on that. And perhaps more broadly, so what role should leadership development, the type of support that Critical Eye offers, be playing for executives at the moment?
Well, in some ways, it's not a surprise that Critical Eye had a record quarter at the end of 22 in terms of member acquisition. And that's basically because these are really, really difficult landscapes where leaders are isolated, yet the implications of their decisions are amplified. And I think within that, that support structure, the ability to benchmark outside yourself, to create space for a decision. Actually, one of my observations for executives is you're generally put under pressure the whole time to do things. And sometimes being able to access someone else gives you a little bit of time to actually get your own house in order on your mentality. And actually, if you look at nearly all of our work, it's sort of telling someone you don't need to make that call right yet. Think it through. Have you prepared? Because it's amazing how when you sleep on things and you step outside that you look differently. And it's all about making sure that you're able to look at things with open eyes. And I think that's where Critical Eye and the mentoring and the support we provide is just incredibly important.
We're at the beginning of 2023 now, and there's immediate challenges which we've discussed today. But what does a high impact leadership team look like, I suppose, on the other side of the recession? What traits and characteristics do you think are going to win through? I don't know who wants to take that first. Maybe Mary Jo, would you like to tackle that one first?
Yeah, and I think coming out of it, the team won't look very much different than going in. The emphasis changes. The need for focus, the need for agility and adaptability will continue. The need for perseverance probably becomes a slightly bit less important, but it will still be important to persevere with the plan and delivering the plan and meeting the objectives, not only of the plan, but of the customers and consumers. Empathy with the team, empathy with all of your stakeholders, understanding how they're approaching things and how their approach might have changed through this process. And ultimately, there is a leadership trait that is in demand all the time, and that is authenticity. People can tell when you're faking it, and you need to be the real thing. And both your team, your board, and all of your stakeholders need to understand that you're the authentic leader that you try to present to them.
Matthew, over to you.
Well, I think that I might agree with everything that Mary just said. Maybe I'll add a nuance in there. There's no question that if you look at over a period of time, those leaders that outperform are those ones that are and retain curiosity and seek information outside of that that's fed to them. And that's basically true within their own organization in terms of they're looking for things when they're going around and externally. And I think in this world that we're in at the moment, where Mary Jo, you referenced earlier, customer and consumers are changing behaviors. Following the structure that you have I think is incredibly dangerous. You've got to be bold and you've got to be able to predict how those customer shifts are going to land, and you've got to get your team the other side of the river before the next person. And those teams that are able to do that, I think you're going to do incredibly well.
I agree. And to do that, you have to engage. You cannot sit in an ivory tower and assume that you know everything. You have to really engage with not only your inside world, your team, but also your outside world, your external stakeholders, to see what they're thinking and take all of that on board to meet their expectations. And that takes good engagement skills, great empathy, and good communication skills.
And good listening. You know, one of the realities is you know listening all around you, looking for the anomalies, and then thinking about where the anomalies, how does that come together? And I absolutely agree that it's making, and I think that's through the executive and non-executive environment. Those organizations that are more connected, that they will do better than those that are less connected. And I think probably here we're talking more old world than new world in the sense of actual physical connection. Yeah, and you're certainly seeing that wherever I pop up in the world, that sort of physical reference points are becoming more and more important because it's linked to trust. That trusted source of information is generally not so trusted when it's virtual.
I agree.
Well, Matthew, Mary Jo, I'm going to have to draw our conversation to a close, unfortunately, but thank you so much for sharing your insights with our audience. Such a great way to kick off 2023. For our listeners, and as I mentioned at the start, today's episode is part of a wider series looking at high impact leadership. So please do have a look at our other episodes and subscribe to the podcast to be notified of the latest leadership discussions from Critical Eye. Great to see you, Matthew and Mary Jo. Thanks again and hope to see you soon.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Julia. Thanks, Mary Jo.